أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. Today inshallah we're going to be doing the tafsir of Surah Al-A'la. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. And this was one of the surahs that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite frequently, particularly in Jumu'ah and the Eidain. And also it's reported that Aisha radiallahu anha says that the Prophet also used to recite this surah in the witr in addition to قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. And according to another riwayah, Aisha radiallahu anha, he used to also add the مُعَوَّذَتَيْن, meaning قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ in Salatul Witr. This surah, it addresses the concept of Tawheed, and this is one of the, again, Makki surahs. And as we've mentioned before, the Makki surahs, they talk about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Tawheed. And the gist of the surah and the subject matter indicates that it is one of the earlier surahs. In this surah we have, like I said, the issue of Tawheed is mentioned here, and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pondering into the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also there's a consolation to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that not everybody is going to follow in your footsteps and not everybody is going to become a Muslim, but it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who actually will become a Muslim. And a person who truly wants to get hidayah and he wants to get guidance, that person will be guided. Otherwise, then that person who doesn't want guidance, he will not be guided. And also the fact that surahs like this and lessons that are in this surah, they were prevalent in previous surahs, previous nations' books also, and the mention of that will be in this surah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he starts the surah and says, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. O Prophet of Allah, glorify the name of your Lord who is the greatest. So سَبِّحْ, it is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet of Allah. And when the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is being addressed, we are also being addressed at the same time, that we have to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to recite this verse or hear this verse, he used to say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, pure is my Lord who is the greatest. He used to make the tasbih, the actual tasbih, the word for tasbih is Subhana, Subhanallah. Okay. So سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet, glorify the name of your Lord who is the most greatest. الَّذِي, or the most highest. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. He who created and he made everything in equal measure. Okay, so فَسَوَّى, it is it means everything equal. He made everything equal and in proportion. So everything that we see around us in terms of the trees, the mountains, and the human form, the animals, we see that they have been made in equal proportion. Nobody is lopsided, except maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us a lesson sometimes, and he might create some people who are not quote unquote normal. But that is for us to reflect upon and to be grateful for the blessing that Allah has given us. But for the most part, the majority of humans and the majority of creation has been created in a way that is very, very proportionate. So here Allah says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. He who created and he made in equal proportion. وَالَّذِي qaddara fahada. And the one who wrote down the destiny, qaddara, it means he put into taqdeer and he guided. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, and he guided. What does that mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He's written, it will happen. And everything that He's written in terms of the creation that will occur, that will happen. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He has written that this creation will take place, He also guided the same creation to what is right and what is wrong. He told them what is haq and what is batil. And He sent prophets and messengers so that people could be guided and be put on the straight path. This is one meaning. Another meaning is that Allah, He created everything. He created the human being. He created the animals. And each and every single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what he or she is supposed to do. The baby that he's born straight away knows that he has to take the milk of the mother. And each lion or beast that preys on other animals knows that it's supposed to eat meat, and it eats meat. And those animals that are supposed to eat grass and vegetation, herbivores, they only eat grass and vegetation, and they do not eat, or they're not supposed to eat, meat. If you go against that nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it will have dire consequences. So this, in the last few years we've had something which is called mad cow disease. What was the reason for that? The reason for that was that farmers, out of greed for making their animals get bigger and more muscular, they fed them meat-based feed which was tainted with meat product, so that they would get bigger and stronger. The result of this was that those animals, they ended up with this neurological disease, mad cow disease. Whereas those animals which relied on organic farming methods and fed their animals only the grass that they're supposed to eat, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for them and guided them to eat, they had no effect. They had no problems with that kind of thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created everything, and He also guided each and every animal to do what it is supposed to do. Guided the birds how to fly. Nobody has to teach a bird how to fly. It just starts flying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He guided and put and that knowledge into the birds and all of the creation, how they're supposed to be living and how they're supposed to survive. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. And He is the one who makes the pasture grow. Al-mar'a, it is, you've probably heard the hadith, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِ. All of you are guardians. The word ra'i actually means shepherd. So all of you are shepherds. And the word ra'i, it is the person who is guarding or guarding the sheep. And mar'a is the place that where the sheep graze, or the pasture as it's called in English. So al-mar'a, the place of grazing. So who is the one who made the pasture come out? وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. He is the one. Allah is the one who made that mar'a, the pasture, grow. فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. And then He made it into غُثَاء. غُثَاء, it means, you've probably heard this hadith about the Prophet ﷺ. He said that there will come a time when people will call each other to destroy you, just like somebody calls people to the ma'idah, to the place of eating, for food. So the Sahaba asked that, is it because we're going to be less? وَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Are we going to be less in those days, O Prophet of Allah? The Prophet said, لَا وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. But you're going to be like the foam on top of the ocean. So غُثَاء means either the foam on top of the ocean, or it can mean the rubbish that floats on top of the ocean, on top of the river, in terms of the grass and the plants and the pieces of wood and all of these things that float on top of the water. That is also known as غُثَاء. So here Allah is saying, فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً. That pasture that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates, and at one time of the year it is lush and green and it looks very beautiful, to the eye, that same pasture, a few months later, it dies and it becomes brown and it becomes like, you know, not very attractive to look at. So Allah is the one who gives life and He also gives death to things, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life and He gives us death. So the reflection in these first few verses is upon the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He can do whatever He likes, and He has given us so many of these blessings. So we should have iman on Him, we should have faith in Him, and we should turn to Him, and we should worship only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, the subject changes a little bit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam specifically and tells him, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. O Prophet of Allah, we are going to recite to you, and then you are not going to forget. The reason for this verse is that the Prophet ﷺ, when Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to him, he used to recite, the Prophet ﷺ used to memorize. And this was one of the miracles of the Quran, that the Prophet ﷺ was given the ability to memorize the Quran, and he used to come down and he used to read it to the scribes, who then used to write it down, or they also in turn used to memorize it. But when in the initial phases of the wahi, the Prophet ﷺ used to get the wahi, he used to memorize it, he used to be worried that he is going to forget. He used to become distressed that maybe he's going to change the message that has been given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah in this verse consoles him and tells him, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. O Prophet of Allah, we're going to recite to you, we're going to dictate to you, it is probably the better translation, فَلَا تَنْسَى, and then you are not going to forget. And this is similar to other verses in the Quran. In Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تُحَذِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَ. That don't move your tongue so that you rush it. The Prophet, when he used to hear Jibreel alayhi salam, the understanding is like if you are getting a phone number from somebody and he's telling you the phone number and you don't have a pen, what do? He's repeating it, 972, and then you repeat it, 972, and then the other numbers, you keep on repeating it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to hear Jibreel alayhi salam reciting the Quran, as he's reciting, he used to join in with him to try to make sure that he's not forgetting everything or he's not leaving anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him in Surah Al-Qiyamah, لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعُهُ وَقُرْآنَ. It is our responsibility, O Prophet of Allah, to gather it and to make it into a Quran or for it to be recited. It is not your thing to be worried about. You just memorize it. You will be able to memorize it. You will retain it. You do not need to worry. And in Surah Taha, it's a similar theme. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يُخُضَى إِلَيْكَ وَحْيُهُ وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Don't, again, the same theme. Don't rush the Quran before the wahi has been completed. And the Prophet ﷺ, there he's instructed to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase in the knowledge. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Okay, so this is also something we should make a dua of. Oh Allah, increase our knowledge. So Allah says, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. O Prophet of Allah, we're going to read this to you, or we're going to recite this to you, or dictate this to you. فَلَا تَنْسَى, and you will not forget it. إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Except those verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to forget, you will forget them. Okay, so sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to bring verses, and then He used to make those, and abrogate those verses. So those verses were made to be forgotten by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows the jahr, the things that are done in the open, and those things that are done in secret, meaning the worries and the concerns that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had about the forgetting the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was fully aware of them. Similarly, whatever worries and concerns we have, the things that we think about, the things that we reflect upon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of them. He knows the things that are done in open, and He knows the things that are done in secret. Even the beating of our heart, He knows about it, and the things that cross our mind, He knows about them. وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى, and we will make the way easy for you to get to al-yusra. Al-yusra refers to Jannah. We will make the way easy for you to get into Jannah. Or it can also mean وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى, meaning we will make the easy way easy for you. Or things of goodness, we will make them, O Prophet of Allah, easy for you. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us, the ummah, a very important principle. That is, that when you are advising somebody, you make sure that that person who is taking that advice, he has the potential to accept that. Otherwise you're wasting your time. So Allah is saying, فَذَكِّرْ, remind the people, إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى, if the reminder is beneficial to people. If you think it's going to benefit, then you remind. Otherwise, you know, everybody has the potential to be talked to and advised, but sometimes you know from your previous experience that the person is not going to listen, or it's not going to benefit him, or you know from the person's status by being around him, that a certain type of attitude has to be displayed to that person, or a certain type of methodology has to be adopted towards a particular person which cannot be adopted to anybody else. So this is something, this is the hikmah of da'wah and maw'idah, that people who are engaged in this field pick up after many years of experience. They understand from the way that a person is questioning what the person's background is. Whether that person, you know, when you go to interfaith meetings, sometimes you have people who ask questions, and the question that the person is asking will indicate to you what that person is. I was at TCU yesterday, Texas Christian University, and there was an Arab in the congregation in the meeting, in the interfaith meeting. It was actually a presentation of Islam by the MSA. And you can tell that he's an Arab by the accent, but from the questions that he was asking, you could also tell he's a Christian. And I, after the meeting was over, I asked the people that person was a Christian, right? So they said, yes, he's a Christian, and he always asks these types of questions. So from the questioning, you can find out what the person is, and this is that hikmah that is given to a person after he has a lot of experience, and he has, met and talked to so many people. So this is very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is laying down a principle. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. Remind people if the reminder is beneficial. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, who will benefit from this? That this is a consolation to the Prophet ﷺ, that not everybody is going to benefit from your message. Who will benefit? سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. The person who has the khashiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he truly wants guidance, he will take heed, and he will learn a lesson, and he will be reminded, he will be admonished. But the person who does not, وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. The next verse says that al-ashqa, the most misfortunate, he will avoid this message, and he will not accept it. Al-ashqa, it is from the word shaqi, and al-ashqa, the most misfortunate. Shaqi means misfortunate, and ashqa means the most misfortunate. So that person who does not accept Islam, he does not accept the message of Islam, he is in fact the most misfortunate. And what will happen to him? الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى. He will enter the great fire, the huge fire. That fire whose minimum is 70 times the power of the worldly fire. It is said that a person who comes out of the fire of Jahannam and he is put into the fire of this world, he would go to sleep full of relaxation. That's how severe that fire of the hell is. So that person will enter that hellfire. ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. Then he will neither die in that fire and he will neither live in that fire. So obviously he's not going to die, because the hereafter there is eternal life for all of us. Okay, and he will not live. What kind of a life is that? He will be alive, but what kind of a life is that where he is constantly being punished and constantly being burned? What kind of a life is that? This is what this verse means, that he will neither die in it and neither will he have any kind of a life. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say that indeed that person who has the tazkiyah and purification of himself, the purification of his nafs, he indeed has become successful. So the purification of the nafs and self-purification, self-rectification is very, very important, that a person should be responsible for his own actions and think, how am I leading my life? Am I leading a life of piety, taqwa, of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is my life in disobedience? Am I leading a double-faced life, that I am one kind of a person in the masjid and outside I am a different kind of person? A person should think about this, whereas the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He encourages us to have the tazkiyah of ourselves, tazkiyah internally and tazkiyah externally. We have to purify ourselves, our souls, and purify our bodies. It is important that we reflect upon this and think about this and think where we are headed. Allah says that the person who does adopt this tazkiyah and purification of nafs, indeed he has become successful. And what is the sign of that? وَذَكَ رَسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. And he remembers the name of his Lord and then he prays. So internally he has the tazkiyah, and externally he shows that tazkiyah by always being in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon him. He makes the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret and in open, and he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. The reality is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us and he's saying that you are giving priority to the worldly life. You are giving priority to the worldly life. So this is what we're doing. The worldly life, which is a limited life, a life of 60 or 70 years, which is nothing in comparison to the eternal life of the hereafter, we are giving priority to it. It is the height of foolishness that we prepare for this life and we do not prepare for that life which is eternal in the hereafter. Like the person who's sitting in a waiting room for a train to come pick him up, he starts bringing in decorators and painters and puts wallpaper on the wall and paints the wall, thinking that this is going to be his abode forever, whereas his train is about to come in half an hour and pick him up and he's never going to return to that station ever again. Why is he spending his time in decorating that? So this is what we tend to do. We are decorating the waiting room of our life and we do not think about the hereafter, what we are supposed to be preparing for. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, الدنيا دار من لا دار له ومال من لا مال له ولها يجمع من لا عقل له. The dunya is the abode of that person who has no other abode, and the wealth of that person who has no true wealth. And the person who accumulates for this dunya is that person who has no aql, he has no sense. It's narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, said, it is narrated by other sahaba or tabi'i, Arjafa al-Thaqafi, he says that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu once recited سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, and when he reached this verse, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, he stopped reciting and he turned towards the sahaba and said, "Atharna dunya ala al-akhirah." We have given priority to this dunya over the akhirah. So these are the Sahaba, they're talking amongst themselves, and they are telling each other that we have given priority to the dunya over the akhirah. What would they think if they saw us in this day and age? SubhanAllah. So the people became quiet when they heard this. And he said, he continued, "Atharna dunya لِأَنَّا رَأَيْنَا زِينَتَهَا وَنِسَاءَهَا وَطَعَامَهَا وَشَرَابَهَا." We have given this dunya priority because we have seen this dunya's beauty and its women and its food and its drink. And وَزُوِّيَتْ عَنَّا الْآخِرَةِ, the akhirah has been turned away from us. فَاخْتَرْنَا هَذَا الْعَاجِلِ وَتَرَكْنَا الْآجِلِ. We have taken this ajil, meaning the thing that is immediate, and we have left the thing that is delayed. So this is something that we relate from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. This was his humbleness, but we know that the Sahaba, they did not give priority to the dunya, but this is something that we should reflect upon, that how much we are giving priority to the dunya. And the Sahaba, despite the fact that they were always attached to the akhirah, and they were attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were always thinking that they were not doing enough. It is mentioned in a hadith, "Man ahabba dunyahu adarra bi akhiratihi, wa man ahabba akhiratahu adarra bi dunyahu, fa athiru ma yabqa ala ma yafna." The Prophet said that whoever loves his dunya, he's going to harm his akhirah. And whoever loves the akhirah, he is going to harm his dunya. He will harm his dunya. But the Prophet said that what should you be doing? You should be giving priority to that thing which will remain over that thing which will die out, and it will finish. This dunya will finish. We will leave this dunya. So we should be giving priority to the hereafter, even if it seems to us like we are harming our dunya. In reality, we're not really harming our dunya. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us, we will get it. But it might seem that way, that we are harming our dunya, but in reality, that is not the case. So we have to give priority to the akhirah. Allah says, "Bal tu'thiruna al-hayata dunya." You are giving priority to the worldly life. "Wal akhiratu khayrun wa abqa." The akhirah, it is better and it is more lasting. It is more lasting. It is much more lasting. It is eternal, whereas the dunya will finish one day. At the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna hadha lafi suhufi ula." Indeed, this is in the previous suhuf, the previous scriptures. This has been mentioned. What does this mean? There are a few opinions of the scholars about this. Some scholars say, Ikrama says that it refers to the whole surah, that this surah has been mentioned in previous scriptures before. The gist of the surah and the things that were mentioned in this surah, or the fact that this surah is in the Quran, it was mentioned in previous scriptures. This is the opinion of Ikrama. Another opinion is Ibn Jarir al-Tabari says that it refers to the previous ayat, the end ayat, that what you are doing, you are giving priority to the worldly life. This has been mentioned in the previous scriptures, not the whole surah. And the opinion of Hassan al-Basri is that the subject matter of this surah, not the exact surah or the mention of this surah, but the subject matter of this surah has been mentioned in previous surahs. Okay, so these are the three opinions. So Allah says, "Inna hadha lafi suhufi al-ula." Indeed, this is in the previous scriptures. Whose scriptures? Suhufi Ibrahim wa Musa. The scriptures of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. With this, the surah finishes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.